This evening I heard somebody share a thought they heard from a gentleman named Rabbi Lehrer in Far Rockaway that we're starting a life-saving mission. We have the opportunity for CPR. This is the season of Tshuva Tzedaka, Tshuva Tefillah Tzedaka, Ma'avir Nesra'a Gzeira, CPR, charity, prayer, and repentance. This is the opportunity to resuscitate ourselves and be Koneh Chaim once again. I'd like to, you know, in Monopoly there's a get out of jail free card. So I want to share one card with you, a get out of free card, that hopefully with this card, in a certain sense, we could better our chances of being Zocha Bedin. So I'd like to learn a sugya together with you for the first few minutes. And that is the Gemara Rosh Hashanah Daf Ches Amud Beis. Gemara says the following. Chok Li Yisrael Hu. It's a pasuk that we are familiar with from Tehillim. Ein Li Eli Yisrael. We know that Jews are judged. L'umos Ta'olam Minayin. How do we know that Gentiles are also judged? Tamun Lomar Mishpat Le'lohei Yaakov. So what's unique about the Jewish people? Jews go into the judgment first. So the question is, what does that mean? What is the significance of the fact that Klal Yisrael is judged first, chronologically? What's the significance? Why is it better if Jews are judged first? Why is it a chiba, any sense of love that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is willing to judge us first? Usually people want to be judged last. If you're online to be judged, you don't want to go first. You want to delay it as long as you can. So the Gemara asks, what's the specialness, what's the uniqueness about the fact that Klal Yisrael is judged first before the rest of the nations? Answers the Gemara, Melech v'tzibur, Melech nichnas t'chila l'din. If you have a Melech who's awaiting judgment, I'm not sure how you have that scenario, or you have a tzibur who's awaiting judgment, the first one to be judged is the Melech. Why, asks the Gemara, says the Gemara, for one of two reasons. I'm sorry, based on a Pasuk Nemar, b'mishpat, mishpat avdo, mishpat amo, first the mishpat of the Melech, of Shlomo HaMelech, of David HaMelech, and then the mishpat of Klal Yisrael. Why is it significant that the Melech goes first, that the Melech is judged first? Says the Gemara, because firstly, it's just simply not respectful for the Melech, for him to be waiting outside while everybody else is judged. It's not proper to have a Melech wait around for everybody else. You have to take the Melech in, judge him first, and once he's judged, then you could judge everybody else. That's not the point I want to focus. I want to focus on the next line of the Gemara. The Gemara says, you know why a Melech has to be judged first? Concludes the Gemara, Yibay Seima Mikami Delefosh Charon Af. We want the Melech to be judged first before there's the opportunity for there to be too much charonaf, for there to be too much anger to build up. You know, whoever judges first, let's say there's a certain amount of averus that Klal Yisrael might have violated over their year, and little by little, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as he judges and judges and judges and sees there's more and more, and the pile is getting higher and higher, the mountain is getting bigger and bigger, the bigger pile of averus. At some point, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets angrier and angrier and angrier, so there's a greater chance of being Zocha B'din if a person is in the beginning. Before there was the opportunity for that pile to climb so high, before there's the opportunity for Hashem's anger, for Hashem's wrath to pile up. So therefore, it's a great zechus in this, based on this pasuk, that the Melech is judged first, because he has the opportunity to be judged when the judge is not yet so angry. And that's what the Gemara is telling us, that Klal Yisrael have an advantage over the Umos HaOlam. Klal Yisrael is the Melech, the Umos HaOlam are the Am, and Klal Yisrael are judged before the rest of the world, as if to say that Klal Yisrael have the opportunity to be judged before Hashem's Charonaf grows and piles up, and we have the opportunity to take advantage of what it means to be judged early. That's the Gemara, and I'd like to understand what does it mean. After all, it's a little bit troubling, because we always thought that HaKadosh Baruch Hu judges everybody at the same moment. V'kulam b'skira achas, Chazal tell us. It sounds like the judgment of Rosh Hashanah, the judgment of Yom HaDin, is simultaneous. There's no one before, no one after. It's all simultaneous judgment. So what does it mean that the Melech goes in first? What does it mean that it's before? The Charnaf has the opportunity to fester. I want to share with you one point that Rav Itzel Blazer, one of the great Bali Musa, Talmud of Yisrael Salanter, Talmud of Yisrael Salanter, the Rav Chaim Flaschen, I don't remember. He writes in Koch Ve'or the following. He says that we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu deals with us in the same way that the Malchus Derakiyah is Me'ein Malchus De'ara. And in the same way, of course, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows what happened all year long. It's not like he's waking up all of a sudden and his secretary, you know, your secretary for a report, and, you know, right before your presentation, she gives you the report, the printout of, you know, the earnings that you had and the sales that happened from 4 months ago and 7 months ago. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not like, it's not that he sits on his kisei shdil din on Rosh Hashanah and his secretary, Gavriel Michal, somebody up there, hands him a report of all the averus, the client. He knows everything that happened as they happened. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu deals with us. Ke'ein malchus derakia, ke'ein malchus de'ara. As if it were, he allows himself to, kivyachol, put his head in the sand all year long and wait till he sees what's happening on Rosh Hashanah. And if that's the case, HaKadosh Baruch Hu kivyachol only becomes aware on some level, of course it doesn't mean literally, as Rosh Hashanah is continuing and getting later and later in the day. So presumably to take advantage of this mikami delefash charon af, before the anger builds up, HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes those who came in early, you know, FIFO, first in, first out. The first people to come into the din are going to have the opportunity to be zochet to the din before the charonaf has the opportunity to build up and get worse and worse. Says Rav Itzel Blazer the following, it's incredibly yisod. How is it that each and every one of us have the opportunity to come into the din early? The answer is by how early we prepare for Rosh Hashanah. How early we are able to drill within ourselves that pachad hadin that we're supposed to have, that we could try to cultivate within ourselves, to have on Rosh Hashanah. The earlier we're able to cultivate that, for some people, maybe they were able to start on Rosh Chodesh Elul. I'm jealous of my Sephardi students. My Sephardi students, they've been saying, I'm jealous of them in a certain sense. I'm not jealous that I had to stay up until 2 in the morning for a month. But I'm jealous of them in this fact that they had the opportunity to be aware that there's a Rosh Hashanah coming for a full month. For those of us who aren't Sephardi, Baruch Hashem, at least we have this year, it's a little bit better than usual, because we have a few more days. We have 9 days to get our claim in it, to start feeling that Pachad Hadin. And the earlier, says Rav Itzel Blazer, based on this Gemara, the earlier that we're able to have that sense of Pachad Hadin, that sense of realizing that there's a Rosh Hashanah coming up, that realizing that we're going to be Omid Bedin, the earlier we have that, the greater the chance there is for us to be Zoche Badin for nothing more, that for no other reason than this point, that the Melech is Nidon first, Mekame Delefa Shcharon Af, before there's the opportunity for the Hashem's anger to fester. With this idea, Rav Itzel Blazer explains one of the lines in the Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah. The Mishnah talks about four Rosh Hashanahs. We have the Rosh Hashanah for Chita, the Rosh Hashanah for Peros Ilan, Rosh Hashanah for Mayim, and then the Gemara Mishnah says, of course, Rosh Hashanah, Kol Bay Olam, Over Lefan of Kivnei Maron. We all pass before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like Bnei Maron. The Gemara has three explanations. What are Bnei Maron? Maybe it means like sheep, maybe it means like soldiers, and one of the Pshatim, Mike Bnei Maron, says the Gemara, Kemalos based Maron, a certain, I don't know if it was a hill, it was more than a hill, it was a steep cliff. In the area of Maron, there was a cliff, and Rashi explains, it was a cliff that had a very narrow, imagine you have like a narrow mountain, almost like a mountain, not a pass, but going up a mountain, and there's a cliff on your right, a cliff on your left, there's only room for one person to climb up this path, and you have to go single file. So says Ritzel Blazer, what's the idea that Chazal are trying to tell us, that we pass before HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this single file procession? Says Ritzel Blazer, that's the point that we just said, that if there's a single file procession, that means one goes before another, goes before another, goes before the other. each person, based on the time, the amount of time that they prepared themselves for Rosh Hashanah, the amount of time that they invested to prepare, they will be before the next person, they will be before the next person, they will be the before the next person to take advantage of this incredible opportunity, this get-out-of-jail-free card of being early for the din, and if to the extent they're early for the din, they'll be able to be zoche b'din. That's the first thought I wanted to share with you. I want to talk about something that's, in a certain sense, not so practical in the sense of changing our actions, but exceedingly practical in the sense of changing our mindset and our perspective, and it's something that we could really do wherever we are. Something you could do in the bathroom, you could do in the shower, you could do on the train, you could do on the car, you could do it while you're waiting online at a grocery store. Rabbeinu Yonah writes, Shari Tshuva, that there are many steps. Of course, Tshuva is fundamentally 3 points. Vidui, Charata, Kabbalah al Ha'asid. But a full Tshuva, Rabbeinu Yonah says, has a number of other additional points. 21 in total, if I remember correctly. And among the steps of Tshuva, Rabbeinu Yonah says, is the midah called Busha. Busha is shame. But not the shame that you're thinking of being ashamed of somebody else or feeling bad in somebody else's presence. Busha is standing before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Not standing before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but having that sense, that mindset of realizing that I'm standing before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that mindset itself is a key to tshuva. And I want to share with you what Rabbeinu Yonah describes this chelik of tshuva to be. He says when a person, God forbid, is caught red-handed, doing something wrong, natural response, of course, you turn red, you're embarrassed. And yet, oftentimes, we believe in our brain that HaKadosh Baruch Hu watches us, but when we do things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not so happy with, we don't really have that sense of shame, we don't turn red, we don't blush, because, says Rabbeinu Yonah, I'll tell you what's the because. You know what the because is? Says Rabbeinu Yonah, the reason why, despite the fact that if we are caught red-handed in front of others, we are embarrassed, but when we stand before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're not embarrassed. Ve'ein zeh, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is rachok mikil Yosef. I don't really believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I don't really believe that he's watching me. I don't really believe that he's looking at me. I don't really believe that he cares what I do. And since I don't really believe, says Rabbeinu Yonah, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is watching me, that's why I'm not embarrassed when I do something that doesn't find favor in his eyes. We're familiar, of course, with the Gemara in Brachos. B'shas p'tiras Rabbi Yochan ben Zakkai, his Talmidim said, Rabbeinu Barcheinu, what kind of bracha did he give his Talmidim? Yiratzon she'emora shamayim aleichem k'mara basar v'adam, you should be as scared of HaKadosh Baruch Hu as you are scared of people. They said, Rabbeinu, Rebbe, come on, that's all, atkam v'sulo, that's all the bracha you can give us, we want. Come on, give us a real bracha with something with meat. Rabbi Yochan ben Zakkai said, Halavai, Teidu sharei Adam over Avera b'seis v'omer, Halavai shlo yirani ha'adam. People naturally are very happy. I shouldn't say very happy. People are willing to do Averas, but when they do Averas, what do they say? I hope nobody's seeing me. I hope nobody's watching me. So, we have a situation where what makes us be misbayish of HaKadosh, from HaKadosh Baruch Hu is realizing that there is a HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is realizing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is watching us. To the extent that we are aware that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is watching us, we'll be able to be ashamed if we do something wrong. To the extent that we, it's not as real to us, as Rabbi Chaim spoke at Shal Shuras, it's not something that's a perception of what we see as the real reality of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, taking stock of what we do, to that extent, it doesn't bother us. There's an incredible line, one line. If we could work on this one line of Chazal for the next 2 weeks, we'll be in a different place, a different world. One line, Gemara Brachos says the following, Ha'ose dvar aveira. Person does an aveira. What aveira? Umis bayish mimenu. And he feels embarrassed on that one Avera. So go pick an Avera. Imagine any Avera that we might have done this year. Any Avera we might have done. and feel embarrassed on it. Says the Gemara, Brachos Mochlin Lo Al Kol Avonoso. I don't understand. You did an Aveira? Okay, you could do Tshuva. If you do Tshuva on an Aveira, what happens? You get forgiven on that Aveira. Says the Gemara, but if you feel ashamed for having done that specific individual single Aveira, then the shame that you experience in that single individual Aveira does what? Accomplishes what? You get forgiven on everything and anything. How could that be? Says Rabbeinu Yonah, and this whole shtick that I'm telling you is all for Rabbeinu Yonah. Says Rabbeinu Yonah because of the idea that we just said. Because feeling the sense of shame for an Aveira emanates from realizing and feeling that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is watching me. A person does one Aveira, and they're able to build up within themselves a sense of genuine feeling HaKadosh Baruch Hu is bothered that Hashem saw what I did. And if Hashem saw what I did, that means I'm being watched. If I'm being watched, that means HaKadosh Baruch Hu cares about what I'm doing. And I'm doing something that's not what He wants me to do. And I feel embarrassed about it, and it hurts me that how could I do against what Hashem wants? That moment of recognition, of a person recognizing that they're standing before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is a transformative moment. That moment elevates a person to an entirely different level of recognition that he's literally being obeyed to the HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We are all the time, it's just we don't always realize it. And that moment of busha, for that one, whatever that veir might be, as big or as small as it may or may not be, has the capacity to be mochalo al kol avanosav. That's what Chazal say. So how does a person get to this darga of busha, to this darga of being able to feel a sense of embarrassment, a sense of shame? Again, I'm not talking about with any other person, just in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, listen to what he says, and this is the key. While you're driving, while you're taking a shower, while you're in the bathroom, while you're reading a book, while you're anything. B'his bodeid lachshav b'gdulas Hashem. Just think how big Hashem is. And that you could do anywhere, everywhere. You don't need a sefer. You don't have to be a Talmud Chacham. Just think how big Hashem is. Hashem's very big. Hashem's very big. Hashem's very big. Hashem's very big. And if Hashem's very big, then somebody who doesn't do what Hashem wants, that's bad. It's going against Hashem, who's very big. And it's not just that Hashem's very big. Hashem's very big, and He's watching, and He's observing. Somebody in the shul was involved with a court case. They were recorded, or they recorded somebody else. Some states, if you record somebody else, it's legal without them knowing. Other states, it's illegal. It happened in a state where it happened to be that it wasn't legal, and there's a big court case. How could they record where it wasn't legal? In New York, it is legal to record somebody without. So think that Jews live in New York State. HaKadosh Baruch records us even if we don't know, we don't expect, and we don't think, and we don't want to know. We're always being recorded. And He's big. Those two facts together, that HaKadosh Baruch is great, HaKadosh Baruch is big, and I'm so small, and HaKadosh Baruch is watching whatever I'm doing. Not just what I'm doing, what I'm thinking, what I'm feeling, what I'm saying. You just put that all together and you develop a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful midah called shame, called busha. That moment of busha, even if it's while you're brushing your teeth at night before you go to sleep or when you wake up in the morning, that moment of busha that a person could feel, mochlin lo al kol avona sav, what an incredibly powerful tool this could be for these Yemei Hadin. We're going to say in the third Slicha tonight, the one that will be back and forth with the Chazan, we're going to say a line. Pei, it's alphabetical. Pneino el hatlos va'al hachatos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, instead of turning to all of our Averas, don't turn to our Averas. Pnei el hatzlaos, pnei el hatzlaos are our troubles, all the tragedies that befall us. Look at that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Don't look at our Averas. I want to share with you a very beautiful story that I saw from Pesach Kron about that one line that we're going to say in a few minutes. A story that he heard from Shalom Shadron, that Pesach Kohen heard, of course, from Shalom Shadron. In the early 1800s, when the Talmidim of the Gra made their aliyah, attempts to aliyah, and one of the great Talmidim of the Gra was Rav Yisrael Shklov from Shklov, who was one of the Talmidei HaGra, who was trying to bring many of the followers of the Gra to Eretz Yisrael. In 1809, I'll share the story with you, they left the area around Vilna and Europe towards the Mediterranean, and they boarded a boat for the final leg of their trip to Eretz Yisrael. And after a number of weeks at sea, a storm approaches the boat. For hours, the rains pounded the ship as gale force winds rattled the vessel and its passengers to their very core. Wave after wave slammed against the ship's side, spilled over the deck. Finally, they realize they have to throw whatever they have that's not terribly valuable overboard to lie in the ship. At some point, the captain calls for Rabbi Yisrael Mishklov, the leader of this group of about 150 olim, and huddles together with him in this terrible storm, and he says, you know, I've been at sea for 30 years, and there's the worst storm I've ever encountered, and I'm going to do everything that I can to save the ship. But I have to be honest, I don't know if we're going to make it with this kind of storm. So you're the leader, I'm telling you. I don't know what you want to do. I don't know if you want to tell your people, if you don't want to tell your people. I'm just telling you the situation and do with it as you feel. And Rav Yisrael Mishklov realized that this might be the end of their great dreams to make Aliyah, to get to Eretz Yisrael. Everything's, all their aspirations, their preparations are about to be dashed. And he decided to tell the people on the boat. And given that the people there were all great, many of them were great Talmidei Chachamim, he decided the following. The halacha is that when we say vidui, vidui is supposed to be personal. We're not supposed to do a public vidui. Catholics do that, Jews don't. We say vidui only in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not in front of anybody else. But says Yisrael Mishklov to the people that were on the boat with him, he said, that din, that you're only supposed to be misvadet to HaKadosh Baruch and not to other people, is because it'll be embarrassing later on when you see those people. However, we're soon entering the Olam HaElyon, the Olam HaEmes. We're going to die anyway shortly because our boat is not going to make it. And therefore, maybe we could be misvadet in public, one in front of another, and beschus that vidu, that public confession that we'll engage in, that itself will be a zechus for us, so that when we drown, we'll go straight to Gan Eden, and we won't have to suffer anything on the way. And they decided that they'll start with the younger ones, the older ones, sharing publicly whatever they're being misvada on. I want to share with you the vidui of the young person that they started with. The one chosen to be first was a young man who had lived in Vilna. He was overcome with emotion. He burst into tears and cried out to the rest of the passengers, "For 2 years I violated the mitzvah of Kibbud Av V'Em. I lied and deceived my mother every single day. I'm sorry I did so, but I want to explain the circumstances. When I was 13 years old, my parents moved to Vilna, and we had the zechus to be very close to the home of the Vilna Gaon. When the Gra learned, it was like music to our ears. And one night my father had come home from a hard day's work at his grocery store. He heard the Gra repeat the following words. Manichin chayi olam v'oskim b'chayisha. Manichin chayi olam v'oskim b'chayisha. Again and again and again. Manichim chayi olam, people just ignore mitzvos, eternity, and they busy themselves with chayisha, with their temporal, with their finite, with their worldly drives. And the repetition and the intensity that the Gra repeated this phrase left such an indelible imprint on my father that the next morning he told my mother that he felt he had to leave his job and devote his life entirely to learning Torah. He locked himself in a room and we would not dare disturb him, And this way he felt he was fulfilling his life's mission. My mother was left with the responsibility of caring and providing for her 9 children. She wasn't able to take care of the store, so we had to sell the store. And she supported our family by selling some bread, by cleaning other people's houses. One day my mother gathered around us and said, "My dear children, I can't afford to feed you twice every day anymore. We'll have to manage with just the mittag meal, the afternoon meal." And it was unbearable. The little that she had to be divided up into 11 portions. And I realized that if I didn't take my portion, then there would be a little bit more that could be divided among my brothers and sisters. So I made up the following lie that I told my mother every day. I told my mother that in cheder, mittag meal, the afternoon meal, was given to all the boys in school. The Rebbe is giving it out. And therefore, my brothers and sisters were able to eat a little bit more. And now, he turned to the fellow passengers. "I beg from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he should grant me mechila for having lied to my mother for those 2 years." Rabbi Yisrael Mishklov, along with everybody else, was startled. They had no idea of what this young man had gone through and he had done. Stretched out his hands to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem. And the slicha that we're about to say, the third slicha that we're going to say tonight, it wasn't lel slichas, but he said the third slicha that the Jews say on Matzei Shabbos before Rosh Hashanah, they say Pneina el hatlos v'alach hatos. Don't look at our averos. Look at our troubles. Rav Sedri Yisrael Mishklov HaKadosh Baruch Hu, tonight, there, I'm sorry, there on that boat, I say, says Yisrael Mishklov HaKadosh Baruch Hu, do me a favor. Look at our averos. Look at the averos of a Klal Yisrael. Look at what the averos of a Ben Yisrael is. The desire to help a family, the desire to dedicate oneself to learning. Those are our averos. And yes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please look at our averos and don't just look at our troubles. Look at the averos that a Yid could be involved with. These are the averos of a Jew. If you look around, the people next to you and ourselves, we're very fortunate because our averos might not be the biggest averos in the world. Sometimes even our averos are beautiful. We bench, but not with enough kavana. We say Asher Yotzer without really, really appreciating what we're thanking Hashem for. We learn, perhaps not enough. We daven, perhaps not with enough kavana. We're not serial killers. We're not outright thieves. We try to honor our parents as best as we can. Sometimes we don't know what to do. We don't know how to do it right. We ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, don't look at our averos, but you know what? Sometimes even if Hashem looks at our averos, the kinds of averos that we have, even that might be a zechus for us. We say that slicha, maybe when we get to the pay, think about that. And more so, for the next week and a half, 2 weeks, as we say each vidui, each hashamnu, realize the koach of vidui. As I'll say that when Klal Yisrael say the word hashamnu, when Klal Yisrael are mitzvadeh, the koach of the satan, the koach of the yetzahara doesn't have grasp on us. It's an incredible koach. When we say, you know, sometimes we're running through, it's early in the morning, it's late at night, we just have to beat our chest as many times as we can, as fast as we can. Perhaps we take pause to think about hashamnu. That's the keem of the busha that we spoke about. Hashamnu is the keem of the busha that we spoke about. That ability to say, I take responsibility for what I've done, that's what shmama means, says the Ramban. I bear responsibility. I am responsible. I'm not blaming anybody else. That's the nekuda. That's the kernel of reaching. That midah busha that we spoke about. That midah busha that, because of that busha, is mochon lo kol avanosav, as we mentioned. There's an incredible psikta. Psikta says the following. On Rosh Hashanah, we're going to blow the shofar. And when do we blow the shofar? You blow the shofar in Shachris or Musaf? Psikta says something incredible. You know why you blow the shofar in Musaf, not at Shachris? I think there's a historical precedent for this. We're not going to get into the history, but says the Psikta the following. Lama ein Yisrael token min hatfila harishona, ela b'tfilas ha-Musaf. Why do we wait till Musaf to blow the shofar? Listen to what the Psikta answers. Kedei shebishah she'omde bedin, as we stand bedin b'shas tkiyas shofar, yihiyu mitzuyin milein mitzvos v'yizku bedin, will be more full of mitzvos than we were at shachris. Why? Were we running around giving tzedakah? Were we running around helping old ladies cross the street? Were we learning daf yomi between shachris and musaf? We were in shul for another half an hour, another hour, whatever it was. And that could be the difference. That could make us be zocha b'din. I think we take a lot for granted. Not in terms of what we get as gifts, but in terms of the mitzvahs that we do, we don't appreciate the magnitude of what we do, of the mitzvahs that we do. When we daven, you hear now before slichas, and an hour will be or after slichas, you're going to be different people. We're going to be people with a vastly different spectrum of mitzvahs, of our avonos are going to be withered away because we'll have said a vidui. Our mitzvahs will be shining because we're a little bit more of bali tshuva. We're going to be totally different people in an hour. We can't take for granted the change that we're going to experience, the change that a Jew experiences through a few minutes. There's a difference between a shachris and a musaf. Sometimes we think that want to change, we have to become totally different people. We have to just, you know, drop everything and run, buy some hovel in Bnei Brak and move into Kol HaChazanish, and then I'll be a Baal Tshuva. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from me. Maybe there's somebody here that is like that, but most of us, I don't think that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. The ability that we have to change one thing, to change a midah, to not scream when I want to scream, to not say a word when I should, when I feel like I want to say a word, to give an extra few dollars to tzedakah, to do a chesed when I don't really want to do a chesed to that person, to learn a little bit more, that next to 2-3 minutes, to review that daf one more time when I'm waiting somewhere. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is asking of us. You know, we say, to finish off, we say on Rosh Hashanah, the Mishnah says on Rosh Hashanah, Kol Bayolam Orim Lefanav Kivnei Maron. Rosh Hashanah is not a din Yom HaDin for Klal Yisrael. It's Yom HaDin for Kol Bayolam, for all of humanity. That means on Rosh Hashanah, you're walking to shul, and you're going to pass the garbage truck. And that guy who's running from house to house, putting the garbage in the garbage truck, is being omid bedin the same way that you and I are being omid bedin. And you're going to ask some, you're going to pass other people on the way to work. And you'll pass other people doing this and doing that. And they're being omid bedin equally. Not an iota less than any one of us. On our way to shul for Rosh Hashanah to hear the shofar. We're so lucky. What a zechus we have. Mishnah Avos tells us, Chaviv in Yisrael, Shnikru Banu Lamakom. What a great zechus. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says about Klal Yisrael, you're my children. But that's not enough. It's not enough that we're the HaKadosh Baruch Hu's children. Chiba Yisera no das lam Shnikru Banu Lamakom. It's an added dimension of Ava that HaKadosh Baruch Hu lets us know. Guys, you should know you're my children. I mean, it's not just that existentially we're HaKadosh Baruch Hu's children, but to know that we are HaKadosh Baruch Hu's children is a Chiba Yisera, is an entirely different level of love. When we're Omid Bedin, we're Omid Bedin. The whole world is Omid Bedin. It's such a chiba yaser, what a bracha it is, that we are fortunate to know that we're being Omid Bedin. Before a court case, you have the time to prepare, you have time to talk with your lawyer, you have time to work out your arguments, to figure out how you're going to respond to the deposition, to figure out what you'll say and what kind of proofs you could bring, what kind of evidence you could bring, and what kind of things you could respond. That's what we have right now. That's the Chiba Yisrael, that we, only we, not the Umas HaOlam. We're all going to be Omid B'din, but they and us. But we have the opportunity of the next few days, Be'ezus Hashem, to prepare ourselves. The Chiba Yisrael that we have, it's such a bracha, how can we squander it? How can we lose the advantage that we have of being Omid B'din and knowing that we're going to be Omid B'din, take advantage, let us all take advantage, Be'ezus Hashem, of the very few days that we have left so that we could at least right now, come get ready, be omid, get ready to be omid bedin, the kamid, the lefosh charonaf, before the charonaf has the opportunity to grow, like we mentioned, like the melech has the zechus to go before the am. We still have a few days to prepare ourselves to come to the din early, and with that, we should be zochet to shnas chaim v'shalom, to a year of bracha, a year of simcha, a year of gezunt, a year of nachas, a year of yemos hamashiach, a year sheyimali, kol mashal slibeinu letova. As a session.